kids are here.
Okay. I've got something coming I'm going to give you, but I'll have to wait.
Okay. Would you stand as we begin our worship this morning? Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, whose streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, or walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name.
Good morning. Y'all look bundled up out there this morning. I mean, it is only 17 degrees outside, so hopefully you guys have come in this morning, gotten a little warm, and hopefully are looking for a good service today. How many of you had a okay week this past week? How many of you had a great week? How many of you were in an accident this past week? All right. Well, some of you may or may not have heard, but I was involved in an accident this past Wednesday. And I know a lot of you said some prayers and lifted up some prayers for me this past week. And I just want to personally say thank you. Doing all right this morning. The vehicle is a little worse for wear than my head is, but everything is doing well. And hopefully the insurance will take care of everything and we'll be all right. But I do want to say thank you for those of you that I know lifted up prayers for me Wednesday evening in choir and then some during the Bible study as well. So hopefully this coming week we will have a little bit better week. I know it's going to be chilly out there. But we've got Thanksgiving on Thursday. I know we've got a lot of people that have already done some traveling this weekend in preparation for that. So as we're traveling this week, be in prayer that everyone has safe travels. If you would, go ahead and turn with me to your bulletin. I've got a few that I'm going to go ahead and touch on. There is a building and grounds meeting directly following service this morning. So if you're part of that committee, Scott Raper would like for you guys to meet in this Eastside Overflow classroom directly following service. If you have a newsletter item that normally goes into the monthly church newsletter, those are in today. And then this is the last Sunday to get your poinsettia orders in. They're only $6 a piece. You can have it in memory of or in honor of, and on December 22nd, you will be able to take that poinsettia home. They will be purchased and on display up here in the sanctuary on the platform until then. Tonight, we have our all-church family Thanksgiving dinner. It is at the Nixa Event Center just across the street from the post office there on Highway 160 South. So it's at 5:45. We ask that you try to be there about 5:45 to where we can have all the side dishes and all the food out so we can get started at 6 p.m. That is open to everyone. Invite some friends, family. The church will be providing the turkey, ham, the hot rolls, the tea, and the coffee. We just ask that you bring salads, veggies, and desserts for that.
That's all they ask for. Somebody asked for dressing. Somebody asked for gravy. Somebody asked for potatoes.
So, deviled eggs, some pie, specifically pie. So that'll be tonight, 5:45, at the Nixa Community Event Center. Then on Tuesday night here at our church, we will be hosting the Nixa Community Thanksgiving Service. That will be at 7 p.m. There will be a community choir. If you would like to be a part of that, they will be having rehearsal at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, so be here for that. We are asking that our members for parking, because it will be somewhat limited, we're asking that you park next door at the Christian Church on just this east row of parking. That way, our main lot, we can leave it open for any of the other community members that will be here. But that is at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Then Wednesday, Paula will be here at the church getting ready to decorate for Christmas. We're not going to actually have a service, but any of you that are willing and wanting to help decorate the church for Christmas, Paula does a wonderful job every single year, and she doesn't do it by herself. A lot of you all help out, give a lending hand. So at 6 o'clock, if you can be here for that, she will have pizza. So come for that, have some pizza, and then help decorate the church. Next Sunday, Mary Willard needs to meet with the cast and crew that she has already talked to about participating in the Children's Family Christmas program. So she has talked to you. Get with her. She would like to meet with you all next Sunday following church for about an hour. So that is everything that I have. Again, in the bulletin, on the back of the guest registration form, you've got dates and times of all of the different events that are going on throughout the rest of the year. Look to that, and hopefully we'll have a good time in the Lord. That's all the announcements I have. If you would stand, find someone that looks colder than you are, give them a hug this morning.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts.
for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Good morning. I see some more kids around. May I sit right here beside you? Is that okay? Come on down. Come on in, join us. Whoops, sorry. You all look so wide awake this morning. No, not so much. You know, I was thinking the other day, because some of you know that I helped my daughter in the daycare, and one of the kids was asking about school and about he's getting ready to go into kindergarten next fall, and about school and about learning and how long do you have to go to school? So my daughter starts explaining, well, there's kindergarten, and then there's first grade and second grade and third grade and fourth grade, and he starts rolling his eyes. I thought, you know what? We learn all of our lives. We never stop learning. Even when we're not in school, we never stop learning. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about when I was a little girl, and my mother was teaching me how to cross the road. And the conversation probably went something like this. Now, when you get ready to cross the road, you hold my hand. And you always look both ways before you cross a road. And you never run across the road, but you always look both ways before you cross the road. And you don't want to run ahead of me. You don't want to let go of my hand, but you always want to look both ways before you cross the road. What do you think she wanted me to remember?
Not to cross the road.
Look both ways.
To look both ways before I cross the road. We have a tendency to repeat the things that are important and the things that we want to remember. Now, this year, our theme has been what? To be the aroma of Christ. That's right. And in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 17, we find a heading here that says rules for holy living, because we know that being the aroma of Christ means that we need to be holy. Remember, God said, be holy because I am holy. So we look in here, and what I found very interesting in verses 1 through 17, in verses 15, 16, and 17, we see something repeated. Now, it says a little bit of something in verse 15, and then it says, and be thankful. And verse 16 says a little bit more, and then it says, excuse me, sing with thanks in your heart to God. And verse 17 says a little bit more, and then it says, always give thanks to God the Father. What do you think they want us to remember in those three verses?
Always give thanks.
Always give thanks, to be thankful. Now, on Facebook, if you were able to get on there and read, you would see that a lot of people talk about things that they're thankful because what's this week?
Thanksgiving.
So they make it a practice to talk about things that they're grateful for and they're thankful for and that they praise God for. And yet the Bible tells us that we need to be thankful always, all the time. So at Thanksgiving time, it's a really good time to become in the habit or in the practice of giving thanks and to take that habit and to do it all year long. And I just heard the story about someone in the church. I just heard this morning, that they started keeping a list of things that they were thankful for. And every once in a while, they'd go back and they'd think, what am I thankful for today? And their list has over 1,000 things on it now that they're thankful for. And I think that's just an awesome thing. And if you can't write yet, it's an awesome thing to go to mom and dad and say, will you add this to my thank list today? And I think that that would be a very cool thing to do. And someday you could bring it into our prayer and praise time at Sunday school opening and share that with us. So this week we want to be what?
Thankful.
All right. Very good. And because being thankful will help us be the aroma of Christ. That's right. Amen.
Okay, good morning. I have a couple things I want to share with you. First of all, I want to let you know that we had another 25 evangel hats sent off this week. So those of you that are participating in that are really doing great. Someone kind of hinted at that it may slow down just a little bit with the holidays as we get busy. But every little bit that we do, that you do, is better than none at all. So we're thankful for that. I ran across this little article that I want to share with you, a true story. And, you know, it's Thanksgiving week, and we have it so easy here in the United States compared to so many other countries and so many other people. And even the difficulties that we go through occasionally, we still have it so much easier. And that being said, I want you to listen to this and think about how vocal and how determined you would be willing to do the same thing as what this man has chosen to do. In a country we cannot name was a family. The wife was a Christian and her husband was a Buddhist. He became possessed with a paralyzing demon. His arms would twitch at his side and he couldn't move. He called for the local Buddhist monk and asked for help. The Buddhist monk could not cast out the demon. He then called for the, I think it's pronounced shaman, the witch doctor, but he could also not cast out the demon. Finally, he asked his wife to call the Christians. Four young men arrived on their scooters at his house and went in to pray for him. Full of faith, they prayed and the demon left. They asked the young man to allow Christ into his life. The man not only refused, but he pulled out a gun, shouting and waving, and drove the people away and made them get out of his house. Jesus gives us a warning that when an unclean spirit goes out of a person, that he wanders the empty places and then returns to the person he was cast out of. Finding the person empty and clean, the demon returns and brings others with him. So some days later, the demons returned to this man. Same procedure. He called the Buddhist priest. He called the witch doctor. Nothing could happen. Several days later, has his wife call in the Christians. The four young men come back. They pray the demons out of him. They ask the man if he would like to accept Jesus as his Savior. He pulls out his gun and chases them away. And that happened a third time. But on the third time, he did accept Jesus as his Savior. He was ready then and through that process. And not only that, after they left, he went to, let me see what he's called here. he went to the Buddhist monk and told him that I want to be written down as a Christian. I want to be recorded that I am a Christian. In this country where it was illegal to be a Christian, he went forward and said, I want to be known as someone who's a Christian. If it come to the point in time in our life that we had would have to register in our country if we were a Christian or not a Christian, would we be willing to face the opposition or whatever it is that might we might face, the fines, the persecution or whatever, to say that I'm a Christian? It's pretty easy for us to say we're a Christian today, right now, at this moment in time. But to live in a situation like this man is, where it is illegal to be a Christian, his wife is a Christian, but he went and said, record me as a Christian.
Thank you, Jennifer. A man has a strong testimony, doesn't he? Amen. I'm sure God's blessing his life as a Christian. Thank God we don't have to undergo any persecution at this point for being a Christian. I thought about what Pastor Jill said there a minute ago. What the mom said, look both ways before you cross the road. And what do you think about when Pastor Don says it's time to receive our tithes and offerings? Look to your billfold. Always look at your billfold when I say it's time to receive our tithes and offerings. Only joking, you know where you are on that. And God will bless you as you bring your tithes and offerings into his storehouse if our ushers would come at this time. Scott, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
We just want to thank you for this day with the ability that we have to be able to worship you openly, Lord. And
yes,
we just want to thank you for that and just thank you for all the many blessings that you give us that we are so undeserving to receive, Lord. Watch over and guide us and use this gift that we give back to you, Lord, to your glory and multiply it as much as you can, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
shelter, our peace in the midst of the storm. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. When we walk through life's darkest valley, we will look back at all you have done, and we will shout, our God is good, and He is a faithful one. Alleluia, alleluia, to the one on whom all blessings fall. Alleluia, alleluia, to the one whose glory has been shone. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. I will remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me and would never leave me, and I'd never been the same. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop.
Indeed, thankful for the faithfulness of God today, to know that as we share our needs with Him, He is faithful to hear, to respond, and to work in all situations. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we want to remember those things that that indeed are listed within our bulletin. We want to remind you we have some still who are in the Deer Woods this week, and we want to pray for their safety. And we also want to remember Sister Helen Atnip, who is really feeling under the weather with her back pain this morning. Also remember Chris Downing's father, who is going through some very challenging times here and having some potential shutdown in some of his organs. And so remember Chris and her family. And then this morning, Pastor Don, I'd like to ask you to just join Ruth kind of there. It's off to the side of your pew at the center aisle. They've gotten word they're going to be leaving after service this morning and going to Kansas. And so just some very challenging days there between their son-in-law's situation and then their granddaughter-in-law's situation. And they're doing everything they possibly can to help and support their family. And so I'd just like for us to indeed gather around them this morning. And then these altars are open to you if you have need. And if there are others that God lays upon your heart that you just want to go to someone that you've kind of heard something about, or you've seen their name on the prayer list or whatever, and you want to go and just to put an arm around them or whatever, you just kind of go where you need to go this morning. The altars, again, are open if you need to feel the need to use them, and they're available for you. And so we just want to join our hearts together as family today. Pray for traveling mercies for Pastor Don and Ruth. Pray for them as they're ministering to their family in a time of need. Pray that indeed God would work out whatever the situations are there about the deterioration of their health and those situations. So let's just sing together again, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer this morning.
All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. Leave it there.
Father, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we indeed want to be grateful to you for all things. Lord, we are reminded that, like Pastor Jill said, it's not something we do once a year, but it's something that we do every day, all the time. We are indebted to you for so many things. Lord, we are grateful for so many things. Lord, we just come to you today with thanksgiving in our heart. And as things come to our mind, we're reminded the old song says to count your blessings. As things come to our mind, Father, we want to indeed add them to our thank list. And Lord, I'm sure that every one of us here has thousands of things that we indeed have taken the time to actually literally write them down. We could fill up many pieces of paper, many lines of writing to say we have more than we deserve. Lord, I was just reading an illustration this week about a little girl with a critical nerve condition, and someone entered the hospital and asked her what she needed, and she said, "Well, I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything I need." Lord, if we could, just get to the place to realize that when we have a personal relationship with you, we have everything we need. Lord, so many times we get consumed with so many peripherals, and understandably so. We know that money is the way that trade is taken care of in our culture and our society. And Lord, we want to have a comfortable home. And there's just a lot of things. And as we see others who don't have these things, people who are jobless or homeless or without food, then we're reminded of the blessing that we have. When it's cold outside and we have a warm place, then we're thankful for that. Lord, help us not to be consumed with the accumulation of goods that's consumed by the all-surpassing power of knowing Jesus Christ. We are grateful for all that you do for us. We're grateful for your spiritual provision for us. And yet, Lord, we are faced with these situations in our personal families. And Lord, we do want to be intercessors. We want to help out. We want to use our talents and abilities to aid those who we are connected to. And Lord, that's what makes the world go round. So, Lord, on this Thanksgiving Sunday, just give us a grateful heart. Give us a listening ear. Give us an open mind. Give us a sense of contentment and satisfaction with what we have, but an unsettled discontent in regard to what yet is to come in our relationship with you, that we want to be all that you designed for us to be and possess all that you want to give us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the fellowship of other believers. Thank you for all your blessings. Lord, we pray that you would watch over Pastor Don and Ruth this week as they travel today, and as they try to have the right things to say, encouragement, that their presence alone, without words even, would be a great help to their daughter and to her family. Lord, we don't know what the time schedules are with some of these situations, but we know that there's great stress in terms of trying to give care. So, Lord, thank you for the relief that they offer. Lord, there are others here praying about things this morning, life situations, changes that have taken place, transitions that are being made, needs that are presented. Lord, we believe that you indeed are protector and provider, creator and sustainer. Lord, and so we commit these things to you because the things that we haven't been able to do within the abilities you've already given us, we need help. And so, Father, we admit our shortcoming. We say, Lord, help us. Help us to see our need, Lord, meet our need, and then, Lord, help us to indeed help meet the needs of others. We love you. We praise you. We want to bask in your presence this morning. Follow your direction as we go into the day, always being thankful. It's in the powerful, precious name of Jesus we ask it this morning, and all God's people said, amen.
Last Sunday, Debbie and I were visiting her cousin, and we went to her church, and there was a song that was sung, and I thought, I knew I was supposed to sing this Sunday, and so I thought, that's what I'm going to sing Sunday. So I pulled out my phone, and I made a note on my phone and everything of a song that I was going to sing. Wednesday night, I got here for choir practice, and Janet and I practiced the song. I told her what I was singing, and we practiced it. I got to church this morning, and she had received a request for a song for me to sing. I didn't know the song. And all we had were the words. So didn't have any music. Well, just a while ago, Janet handed me the music. She found the music. So I learned this song this morning. It's been around for years, I know, and I probably have heard it, but I just never did really know it at all. So here goes, and you know who you are that you requested the song. There's a roof up above me, a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and your fine family. So thank you, Lord, for blessings on me. As the world looks upon me, as I struggle,
thankful for people who can, on a wing and a prayer, do people's requests. That's good. That was great. What they didn't know is I've had that song on my mind all week, when we used to pastor in Banner, started out being Charlene Woolard when she was a little 13-year-old teenage girl. Used to sing that a lot. Her dad would play guitar, and she played guitar, and they would sing that songs. And then she married Dennis Bergen, who is now the pastor there, but was working with youth. That's the church he was born in and grew up in when I was there. And so now when I see her, that's one of the first things. For some reason, that song is kind of the thing that epitomizes Charlene. She's just a very precious lady and a wonderful woman of God. So I remember that song. And so what a thrill it was when I came in this morning and heard that tune and indeed saw that Bruce was going to sing that. And then it was even more thrilling to find out that he didn't know the song. He hadn't heard it before. So thank you, Lord, for people who are willing to be a blessing to others. And how appreciative we are of that. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I was thinking of this passage, or at least pieces of this passage. And as I began to read it, there were some things I thought were so fitting to this morning and to the spirit of thanksgiving. And indeed, Paul writes to Timothy and kind of reminds him of some things that he can be appreciative of. And so this morning I want to take you there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul begins this portion of letter, and I have to remind myself sometimes as I begin to think about these things and breaking them down, that indeed when they were written originally, there was not chapter and verse, they were letters. They were pieces of conversation coming from Paul's heart that he was writing to the churches or to these individuals. And indeed, as he approaches this portion of this letter, he sends his greeting. And then he says these words, I thank God. That is the attitude. That is the perspective that we should have, you know, every day when we wake up. First thing, if we would address every day with that perspective and that acknowledgement, he's writing with the right perspective. He's acknowledging the right person. He said, I thank God. His attitude is right. It's an attitude of thanksgiving. And he knows who he's giving thanks to and who indeed is the beginning of all things and the author of all things. The word thanks reflects gratefulness, reflects appreciation. And it was interesting as I was looking through dictionary definitions, this was a word that was attached to the word thanks. Glad. We're glad. You know, and every time I hear the word glad, I'm sorry, this is how the media works. They know how to play with our brains. But every time I see the word glad, the first thing that comes to my mind is don't get mad, get glad. You know, so they know how to do their business. But I'm just thinking, you know, how difficult it is to find negative perspective or how difficult it is to be angry for a very long period of time if indeed we have an attitude of thanksgiving. And as we think about all the challenges that exist in our world, how much better it is to start the day. It's like this letter was started, to start our day, our beginning of time, with an attitude of thanksgiving. And so as I kind of looked through this passage here in these first few verses, I found three things that I think most of us can relate to in one way or another, that indeed, I think, just as Paul said to Timothy, here's some things to be thankful for, I believe are things that we too can be thankful for. And we're reminded, Pastor Jill brought it up in the children's sermon this morning, but in Ephesians 5:20, it says that we're to always be thankful. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, it says, be thankful in all circumstances. So that doesn't really leave us a lot of space to not be thankful. So therefore, it doesn't really leave us a lot of space to not be glad. And if we indeed encounter our world, our day, our situations with an attitude of God can teach me something from this, something good can come from this, this is some of the rough edges being polished off, there's some benefit to whatever this is, then indeed we can face it with a much better grace and situation than maybe we might otherwise. As Paul begins to write and speak to Timothy here, there are some things that he says I think you need to be kind of mindful of and appreciative for. And one of them, he starts out talking about heritage. Now, I don't know about you, and I know everybody's situation is different, and not everybody's past is the same, but Paul brings up a couple of things here. In verse 3, he talks about thanking God and whom he served as his forefathers did. I'm thankful for a history. You know, we can immediately think about things like God's promise to Abraham about how he was going to be the father of many nations, and somewhere that plays down into us. And then we think about the history of different biblical personalities and how God has worked through them to kind of get historically information to us and to get the word to us, the great writers of the Bible. But then I'm thinking, you know, when I hear the word forefathers, for me, the first thing that kind of comes to my mind is American history. I kind of think about those are the people who kind of set the pace for us. And we know that America came to be, in its beginning days, known as a Christian nation. And now they're trying to kind of rearrange and rewrite or write out of American history that a lot of our forefathers, while they had their flaws, were people who acknowledged the Almighty God. But I just remind you this morning with a couple of readings that indeed George Washington came about by the request of Congress, and he wrote this: whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor, whereas both the houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and single favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend next to be devoted by the people of the states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country. George Washington, 1779, the president, saying, okay, here's what we need to do. We need to acknowledge God. I'm glad that that's part of my history. I'm glad that that's indeed part of my heritage. And let me just read a very quick excerpt out of a passage, October 3rd, 1863, a proclamation by Abraham Lincoln, several presidents later. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. I'm thinking he's talking about the God I know. I think he's talking about the God of the Bible. Here are my forefathers that are writing these documents that are saying to the entire American population, we need to stop and be mindful of Almighty God. I'm not kind of getting that same message right now. But I'm glad it's part of my heritage. And I'm glad it's part of my history. And then Paul even brings it down to a more personal level in the fifth verse when he says, hey, I remember your grandmother. And I remember your mother. And that passage of Scripture has always spoken volumes to me personally, because my grandmother Ruby, who lived to be about 98 years of age, was a woman of prayer. And she wasn't an absolutely perfect woman. You know, she could get cantankerous once in a while. She could become a little frustrated once in a while. You know, she had her opinion ideas. But overall, as a being on the face of this earth, she was a woman who pursued God. She was a woman who had a heart for God. She was a woman, when I was struggling as a young man, from the time I was a boy to a teenager, even as a young adult, as long as she was alive, matter of fact, when I needed something, I would go to her and say, Grandma, will you pray for me? I'm thankful for her life. I'm thankful for the example. I know what my mother thought because my mother raised me, and I can remember my mom reading Bible stories at our house. I can remember that my mother took us to church 3 times a week, and I'm so glad I was not sent to church. You know, it's kind of like that guy in one of the Christian communities. He says, when I was growing up, I had a drug problem. My folks drugged me to church every week. Now, I don't know that I was dragged to church every week, but I was taken to church every week. And it wasn't my parents saying, well, you probably ought to go over there and get out our hair for a while. My parents says, this is what we believe, this is who we are, this is what we do, and you're going with us. I'm thankful for the heritage to have heard prayer in my home, over meals, at night before going to bed, to say, when we can't do something about this, we believe there's a God who can. We have a heritage that says, this is the kind of life we live. This is what we believe. I am so thankful for the heritage in my lifetime, from my biblical forefathers to my historical American forefathers to my mother and my grandmother, who indeed lived out a life before me so that I could enjoy the things that God wants me to enjoy. And this is one thing that I would say to you, that we can pass our faith on to other people. Now, I understand that in a crowd, there may be people who say, well, that's great, Pastor, that you had that upbringing. I didn't have Christian parents. I was not raised in a Christian home. Nobody told me about God until I was an adult. That was not even a part of my life. Well, here's the deal. Break the cycle. Here's the opportunity that's presented to you, particularly if you're already of the age where you have your own children. If that opportunity was not afforded to you, you know, I'm sorry. What I would like to encourage you today, though, is to say, if you're here and you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you accept God as creator and sustainer of the universe, if you are thankful for the history of the Bible and the history of America and the things that were given to you, you can start something new for your children that will then leave a legacy and create a heritage from them from now on. And that's a wonderful gift that you can give. And I encourage you to make a new beginning. Have a fresh start. Create that heritage. Bridge that gap from history to present and create that heritage for your family. Not only is Paul saying to Timothy, be thankful for your heritage, but I think this morning that what you can be thankful for is the message of holiness. He says to him in verse 9, he says, talking about God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace, the grace that was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. I am thankful today for the message of holiness. Just like Pastor Jill brought this up in her children's sermon this morning, that God said, "I be holy for I am holy." God wants to give us a life of empowerment and victory. I am thankful that while I know I can never be absolutely perfect on this side of heaven, that there is a message that says to me, you also don't have to walk this earth at this present time thinking it's never going to get any better. Everybody's just going to have to be mean and ornery. But that God says to us, I can forgive you. My grace, my mercy are available to you. I want to forgive you for whatever wrong might have been done in the past. And I want to change your heart. I want to change your mindset. And through the power of my Holy Spirit in your life, I want to give you the ability to make right choices, to do right things, to move ahead in a positive direction. I am thankful for the grace of God this morning. We're reminded in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. It says this, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." We have salvation through the mercy and the grace of God. Someone said that the acrostic of grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. We know that He went to the cross, that He shed His blood for us. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. The only reason we have opportunity to have it is by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a gift. And how grateful and thankful we are for that gift. The grace of God. But God has gone beyond that. He says that while you can't earn it, there is something you have to do. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, we're reminded that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There has to be that point of assent where we express belief and we say, I believe in what Jesus did on the cross. I believe what the Bible says. And as we receive by faith and apply the blood of Jesus Christ through faith to our life, then all of those blessings and all of those benefits, the grace of God, are ours and bring us into right relationship with Him. But there's more than that. For as He called us to live a holy life, He enables us to do the things that we need to do right here and right now on this earth. I remind you of the power and the victory that God wants to give to us through His grace, through His Holy Spirit that lives in our life. We're reminded in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." So we don't have to live in a defeatist attitude. Not only can we enjoy the grace of God to take care of what we cannot do for ourselves, to give us the salvation that we cannot earn, but that in that process, as He changes our heart and our mindset, and as He gives us new desires and new motivation, He says to us, I can help you make right choices. I can help you do right things. Matter of fact, He writes to us in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, He writes this to us in the first four verses. "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin." In other words, it's God's desire that we not sin. "But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." Now, when sin is used in those two verses, it's talking about singular occurrences. If you go back to the Greek, it speaks to singular occurrences. In other words, here's my intention. I can help you to grow, mature, learn, become more victorious, be more in my image, think more like I do, be more yielded like my son Jesus to my will and my word. We begin to live more in accord with the scripture as we grow and mature. And He says, I write this to you so that you will not sin. In other words, I want you to obey me. I want you to do the things I ask you to do. I will equip you and enable you to do that. But if you do sin, and see, that if, those two letters becomes one of the biggest words in the Bible. Because what that means is this. Not that it's impossible to sin. There are some people who have seen the message of holiness and say, oh, you're the people who think you can be perfect. We do not believe in absolute perfection. We do not believe in perfect performance. We believe that our intents and our motives and our desires can be correct. But that sometimes we foul up. And the good news is that in the grace of God, when those isolated incidents, unlikely occurrences, infrequent happenings come where we don't do what we're supposed to do, that God says, if you confess, I forgive. And we live under the grace and the mercy of God. But he says, my first desire is you don't do that in the first place, and I'll help you not do that. Listen to what he goes on to say in verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So our motivation is when God in his infinite love has given us the grace of the cross of Jesus Christ, that our love in return is, I want to be obedient. I want to please you. I want to make you happy. And we do our best to do that. But we are flawed. We'll not always be perfect. And the great news is that in our imperfection, we have an advocate, which is like an attorney or a lawyer, Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, intercedes on our behalf, and he says, I can help you. And you can learn, and you can change, and you can grow, and you can mature, and we become more and more in the image of Christ as we journey through this life. It's a wonderful relationship. It's a win-win situation. God forgives us when we foul up if we're truly confessing and repenting, and he helps us to overcome and be better the next time. It's a growing experience. It's an improving relationship. It's a wonderful time with God. Romans chapter 6. Beginning at verse 19 reads like this. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Paul said, you have this great heritage. You have this great history behind you. And you have this great message of holiness that God wants to forgive you, that he wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit, that he wants to guide and direct you so that you can make right choices and be more and more in his image and be the right reflection of Jesus Christ to the rest of the world. And he says, and you always have the hope that you're going to spend eternity with me. For holiness leads to eternal life. We have hope in this present age. It's not the kind of thing where we don't think life's going to get any better or change. What was the prayer that Jesus taught us? He said, pray that the will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The point of a Christian is to be a right reflection of Jesus Christ to bring heaven to this earth. So others can see God and be attracted to him and want to have a relationship with him. And the hope that we have is when we are in right relationship with God, that we have the absolute assurance of a home in heaven. Eternal life. What a great promise. And it begins right now, right here in this present age. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 17 it says this. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. If I am thankful and I am glad and I acknowledge that all things come from God and I am glad in all circumstances, I'm content, whether in need or whether in plenty. I've got a great attitude and I'm looking forward to spending forever with Jesus. The spirit of thanksgiving. It affects us now, prepares us for eternity. The writer of the Hebrews, in chapter 10, in verse 23 said, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. God's going to help us. God's not faithful as he that called you to also will do it. The scripture tells us in various places, God's not going to leave us out there on our own just to sit back and say, are you going to make it or not? God fills us with his Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct, gives us his word to lead, guide, and direct, empower us and help us to live as he wants us to live in order that we might indeed receive what he has for us. And I remind you that our text spoke to the issue of immortality. Listen to this great passage that you've heard many times before out of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. There's the attitude to thanksgiving again. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not our own power. It's the indwelling power of Almighty God through His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He equips us to live the life that He's called us to. In 1 John chapter 5 in verse 13, it says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is not something we have to wonder about. It's not something we have to be afraid of not being able to enjoy. When we are in right relationship to Jesus Christ, when we are walking in all the light that we have, when we are doing everything we know to be obedient, we have the absolute assurance that this is all ours. It gives us hope of going to a better place. Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And if you read on through that chapter, you begin to hear about the great city. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, walls of precious jewels. I want to go there. And I can be thankful today because in Jesus Christ, His Son, God has provided everything I need. It's a free gift. I can't earn it. I can't buy it. By His grace, He gives it. The one thing I have to do, though, is I have to receive the gift and follow through with faith. And faith is knowing and doing the will and word of God. And He will help us every step of the way. I have so much to be thankful for. I am thankful for my heritage. I'm thankful for the message of holiness so that I don't have to live a defeatist attitude and say, life's not going to get any better. I'm just going to be an old sinner every other day and I'm going to go around hurting people and myself and others. God says, I can help you. I can change you. I can give you the opportunity to reflect me to others, lead them to me, guide them to me. And I can help you to have the assurance that you and I will spend forever together. What a great assurance. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, I want to have the spirit of Thanksgiving. I want to be glad. I've been mad before. I've been sad before. None of them are near as much fun as being glad. So if we indeed apply the spirit of Thanksgiving, like the scripture says, always, in all circumstances, it changes how we see life. And it helps everybody else around us.
We are so blessed. We have so much. I want to be thankful, and I know you do too. And we're going to have fun tonight. We're going to fellowship, and we're going to eat and enjoy the blessings and the benefits of God as we come together at 6 o'clock. I am thankful for Almighty God and all that He does to make life so wonderful and enjoyable, even in the midst of its challenges. We always have hope. Stand with me this morning. I just wonder in these few moments before we dismiss and go away from the sanctuary today, if maybe we just need to pause. I know I need to do this once in a while, and certainly as I've prepared for this message, I've had to reflect and do this. But maybe there's somebody here this morning that in the overflow of life, in the overwhelming circumstances of life, sometimes in all the stuff that's going on, it just seems like, why is all this happening to me? And the devil, you know, the scripture says that the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to destroy your faith. Well, don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. And perhaps this morning, with bowed heads and closed eyes, we just need to say, Lord, help me to truly be thankful, to be grateful, to be appreciative, to be glad. Let me be glad, Lord, in all circumstances, always, because of you in me. Lord, just look within our lives, and if there's anything here this morning that doesn't resemble you, would you bring it to our attention? And Lord, we give you permission to remove it. We want to be like you. You have such great love and great mercy. Lord, where we're not like you, we want to be like you. Fix us, Lord Jesus. Fix what's wrong with our hearts. Fix what's wrong with our minds. Fix what's wrong with our lives. We trust you, and we thank you for the hope that you give. And we're looking forward to heaven. But we're also looking forward to 6 o'clock tonight and family dinner together before we get there. We love you. Thank you for loving us and being patient with us. You are worthy.